All right, everyone. Welcome to another episode of O365A. In this episode, we're going to continue our Viva episodes, our Viva track, and we have a guest speaker with us today to talk to us about Viva Learning. So Asif Rahmani is here. He's a fellow Microsoft MVP to talk to us about Viva Learning. So welcome, Asif. Thanks for coming on. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what your company does?
Sure. First of all, thanks so much for having me, guys. It's a pleasure. My name, as I've mentioned, is Asif Rahmani. I'm the CEO of a company called Visual SP. The main thing that we focus on at Visual SP is actually very related to the whole learning mechanism that, I'll be talking about, is how do you get information to users at their moment of need, what we like to call at the last mile of content delivery, you know, getting it to the door of the user. We try to focus on that as much as possible and at their moment of need. I've been personally an MVP, just like you guys, a fellow MVP. It's great to be here since 2007 now, so 15 years. It's been a great pleasure serving the community, mostly in the Microsoft 365 space, of course, before that SharePoint. And now I, myself and also as our company, we focus on contextual microlearning within Microsoft 365, Dynamics 365, and even other applications as well. So great to be here.
That's great. Asif, one of the first questions I have is, what is Viva Learning? And from your perspective, what's its purpose and some of its main benefits?
Yeah. Honestly, I think that's actually a very, very good question for folks, everyone out there to understand what is fact and what is fiction regarding Viva Learning. Because there has been a lot of fiction out there saying, hey, it's going to replace everything that you, you know, that you ever need for learning. And that's unfortunately not true. Viva Learning, the way you look at it, and of course, there's, you can have a much broader conversation around it, which I will not go into right now. We'll just talk about Viva Learning. It's an aggregator of your learning information within the company in one place. And that place happens to be Microsoft Teams, because that's where everybody's going these days. Now, an aggregator is exactly what it sounds like. It's like all this information is coming in one place where you can consume it. That does not mean that replaces your learning management system. That does not mean it replaces your digital coach or the contextual microlearning, the kind of the stuff that we provide, for example, you know, getting it to the person. It means that anything that you have access to or that you get access to later, you can have everything come together in Teams, which makes a lot of sense from Microsoft perspective. Second thing also to remember, this is also unfortunate that there's been some rumors and from all different sizes that it's not a free service. You do have to pay for it. It's a great service, but it's a paid service. Viva Learning is one of the four, as you guys know, Viva Insight, Viva Learning, Viva Topics, and Viva Connections. Connections is the only one that's free. Everything else you got to pay. And Viva Learning specifically is $4 per user per month. And I'm sure we'll dig into a lot more, but it's good to know these facts going into it.
That's good. Thanks. Yeah, over to you, Habib.
Yeah, thanks, Asif. So I guess, you know, as we're continuing along the discussion, so, you know, after, you know, it's a good segue because I was going to ask about licensing, so that's great. So after, let's say, you know, the organization has procured the licenses already, how do they get started? Like, what's the best way of them getting started?
Well, first of all, I'll repeat just in case if it was missed that it's $4 per user per month for the application. That means Viva Learning app, you see the actual tile in your Teams, and that's about it. You see free content coming from different sources that you have access to, your own content that you can put in there. But then once you want to get more information, more content from other sources, you got to pay for each of those repositories like LinkedIn Learning, Microsoft Learn, Skillsoft, Pluralsight, edX, and so much more. If you have your own content, you can surface it there. Not yet, by the way. None of the stuff is available yet because we're still in preview right now. But when you can't, you'll be able to surface it. But it's not super straightforward. It's not super complicated either, but something that it will take some ramp up to do. You have to have I won't go deep into it, but a SharePoint list which actually points to all the different content that's laid out at different places. And then that gets consumed within Viva Learning. So capabilities will be there, but you do have to pay for every single service that you get consumption to. So keeping that in mind.
Awesome. Is there anything, so, you know, we talked about deployment. I mean, obviously it's just you deploy the application within the tile, within the app, within the Teams admin center, it gets pushed mm-hmm. down to the user. So it's really just an application. Is there any special permissions that you can apply for, you know, the end users where they can only see a certain set of content versus sure. other users?
So I will give a brief answer since we have a brief amount of time, but for listeners of the podcast, there is a Viva Learning blog that's out there on my Visual SP blog. So if you do a search for Visual SP Viva Learning blog, you'll get to the whole huge blog entry. You can publish and push content to subset of users and have specific content also to specific users. Still, having said that, it's not a Viva Learning capability. It's more of a Teams capability. So you know how in Teams you can have different policies? You can have an app policy. You can say, all right, this I want to be published here. This I want to be published there. Now, that's the current way of thinking of what it's going to be. Once again, it's none of this stuff is general availability. Yes, it's not in production yet. And the messaging is changing a little bit depending on what Microsoft is hearing from the public as to what is needed and from the partners as to what's needed. So things might change. But currently, that's my assumption that you'll be able to do that.
Awesome. Over to you, Dino.
Thank you. Asif, have you worked with any organizations using Viva Learning in public preview yet, or is it still too soon for that?
Yeah, good question. So from our company, Visual SP, and myself also, we work with many, many corporations around the world, and we've discussed the possibility of deploying Viva Learning. Having said that, no one has gone in production because it is still in preview. But I'll give you an understanding of what people are thinking about. So one of our customers, EMI, if you guys are probably aware of EMMI, EMI, they're a big dairy producer out in Switzerland. They wanted a learning portal. So of course, the first question was, all right, Viva Learning, something else. We looked at all the different possibilities of what it makes sense for them. It turns out that they wanted the capability of making it super brandable, right? So the actual learning Viva Learning app, by the way, that's something I should have mentioned before. Viva Learning is not brandable. You still get learning. It's still going to be the same icon. It is. So that automatically kind of took it out of the picture for what they were looking for. And then, of course, what they wanted was the actual layout of it to be also very brandable, where, you know, SharePoint, like, where you could do anything and make it a training portal. So we ended up using Visual SP training portal, using Visual SP web parts to make that happen. Having said that, if an organization is okay with the layout the way it is, because it is not customizable, but they're looking for a very consistent way for people to go to the learning tab, to consume learning in the regular row of work, then Viva Learning is great. There will always be the two camps of, all right, here's what I'm looking for, and I'm just looking for a consistent experience, and Viva Learning is enough, and others which I'm looking for a very brandable, very customizable experience, and that's not going to be enough. So it's very good to know what the requirements are when you're going into it.
Cool. Maybe talk a little bit about the actual Viva Learning app and the experience in Teams. I know it's in preview. I've played with it a little bit, but
yeah.
Maybe just spend a few minutes or less or more if you like, and just walking us through what that might look like. And
sure. Since we're now doing screen sharing here, I won't be able to show it. Having said that, I'll try to describe it as much as possible in verbal format. So as a user, you get into the Viva Learning app by clicking on the learning app that exists on Lurail, right? When the user gets there, there's going to be two rows of information that's going to be specific to you, to them. One is going to be the stuff that they have bookmarked. Second is going to be the stuff that's been recommended to them by their colleagues, by their managers, etc. Now, after the first two rows of information, and that information, by the way, is based in tiles, so you can have an actual course or a specific video or a Word document, PowerPoint, whatever each of these tiles represent. After those two rows, then it's going to be any other learning capability that's been provided to them from an organizational perspective. Now, this is actually pretty important. When I first got access to Viva Learning, I thought, all right, well, it's LinkedIn Learning there, and I am a subscriber to LinkedIn Learning, you know, from my MVP connection, so I should have access to it. And actually, I pay for it on top of that, too, with LinkedIn being a premium member. But that's not the case. It doesn't matter if you have individual access to LinkedIn Learning or other things. Your organization has to have access to it. So you have to put the organization ID in there, and then you will see all the content that's coming from the organization there. Otherwise, it will say, okay, you got to sign in to organization. And that's pretty much it. Basically, you have rows of tiles that represent each learning data source, right? LinkedIn Learning, Microsoft Learn, edX, Skillsoft, etc. And you'll only expose things, obviously, that you have license to. You won't expose things that you don't have license to. Top right, there's a search mechanism. You search for specific courses, and then you consume the courses. It's very much built for the formal learning style, where you dig in deep, and then you go, get the information. It's not for certifications, though. It's not for other kind of things like that. Still, it is a good piece of a blended learning model to have Viva Learning in your organization. And in addition to that, though, my recommendation as a learning professional myself is that you do want to have a digital coach, which takes the information and serves it to wherever the users are, even outside of Teams. You might also want to have a learning management system, which lets you assign courses, which you cannot do through Viva Learning. So it's a good component of a blended learning model, but it's not a complete solution for every learning need.
Gotcha. That's really great. Thanks for that answer.
My pleasure.
With that, I'm going to pass it over to Michael.
Yeah, thanks, Dino. Yeah, so you're kind of stepping into the conversation about the learning management system. So
yeah.
I guess from a high level, where do you see the differences of Viva Learning being kind of an aggregator versus kind of a traditional learning management system, and how, you know, if you are pulling from all these different, repositories, how is that tracking and reporting going back into those?
Yeah. Well, Viva Learning, once again, is the summary of all of your learning in one place. Still, it's not the place where you go to see the badges that you have, see the certifications and courses and stuff you have. That you still have to go to another system. And that system could be in Teams as a different app, or it could be outside. It could be in the web. I definitely see Viva Learning as being core to get to all of your learning, whether it's available through a learning management system or a different way. Still, it's more of a, it's more of a search engine, actually, where you can discover the information that's available in your organization, maybe through LMS, maybe through different sources. I've seen organizations where they have LMSs, and they have knowledge hubs, and they have a wiki with information, and they have more. They just have all this stuff there. Well, Viva Learning could bring it all together and expose everything to you. Now, there are talks that not 100% sure yet, because not production yet, that the LMS assignments and the certification stuff like that could bubble up depending on the LMS integration and APIs could. Don't quote me on that, though. I guess although I am on a podcast over here, so you can quote me. But some of these things are still changing, right? And because of that, it's good to understand that it's, I'm repeating myself, that it's part of a blended learning solution for individuals, but it's not the solution for everybody.
Yeah, it does sound like, Viva Learning right now is like that dashboard, right? So
yeah.
You have all these repositories, you have a place to look at that. It doesn't sound like there's much of a way of analytics or tie into graph on that side yet as a consumer. That's probably still back to the reference repositories. And I'm not sure if I was assigned a course from a repository like LinkedIn Learn and I consume it through, Viva Learning, does that hit count from my viewing? Does it go back up, or is it kind of silent? Okay, it does.
Yeah. So your hit, of course, the consumption does get reported into whichever system it is.
Okay.
That does happen, which is a good thing. And speaking of LinkedIn Learn, because LinkedIn, of course, is owned by Microsoft, you will definitely see a lot more integration coming in the next months and years to come, for sure. There's also a talks, and I don't know exactly where it's going to look like, of an LXP, which is learning experience platform that's going to be created using LinkedIn Learn. So if that happens, there is a possibility that that will further integrate within Viva Learning, but that's yet to come. Lots of moving pieces. lots of moving pieces. That's the reason I keep on referring to the blended learning solution. You know, in my mind, a lot of these things are, if you think about it, what I mentioned at the beginning was the last mile of delivery, content delivery. The reason I mentioned that is because, you know, you have a warehouse, you have a fulfillment center, just like Amazon does, and you have all the stuff over there, and you go there or you go to a store and you consume that information, you buy the information. But how do you deliver that to the customers, to the people, to the employees where they are? And that's where you do still need other mechanisms, other push mechanisms through email or through a Teams notification message or through a pop-up or some kind of digital coach or mechanism to get the information to the users where they are. And that completes the story.
Yeah, I mean, if you've seen, you know, you see the path that Microsoft's going with the whole employee experience platform, yeah. Viva Insights, I could see that Viva Insights might pull, you know, pieces of the Viva Learning. And yeah, it'll be an interesting roadmap to see as this shapes
absolutely
out into general availability. That maybe I'll throw that to Kurt.
Yeah, thanks. I've already learned a lot. What I'm interested in is, if I'm an organization, I want to inject some content into Viva Learning. Is that even possible? Can you actually extend it so you can include custom content?
You can, definitely. And that content could be in the form of videos, like single videos, single Word, PowerPoint, whatever document, Excel, PDF, any kind of artifact that you can point to. As I was mentioning briefly, and there's a lot more information on the blog and Visual SP that I've written, it's basically a SharePoint list. It's a very basic format the way it is. You're pointing from Viva Learning to that list, telling Viva Learning, hey, go into that list, look at that list, and look at each line item in that list, right? Each line item, whatever it's pointing to, bring it back as a tile within Viva Learning, right? So it's a pretty simple way once you get used to it. Before that, it does seem complicated. Like, what am I supposed to do? But when that interaction is made, then things become simple.
And just quickly, can those be different types of video formats? What's supported?
That has not been told to anyone yet, including myself. So I'm assuming all the regular video formats should be available, but don't know.
All right. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Back to you, Habib.
Thanks, Kurt. Yeah, I mean, as Kurt mentioned before, I've definitely learned a ton of information that I did not know about Viva Learning until now. So it was really great. I think understanding the entire, Viva Learning platform, understanding that it's part of the entire learning process, but and it's not sort of maybe the final thing. Maybe in the future that it could be, but I guess still up until now, it's still in the preview, so nobody really knows sort of what the end goal and end solution would be like. But definitely appreciate you coming on, Asif, sharing this information with us. And I think definitely our listeners would appreciate that as well. And thanks, everybody, for listening in, and hopefully we'll catch you on our next episode.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.